Good morning. Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. Great to see you here this morning as we come to God to worship him together. You'll notice the church is rather differently configured. We had a wedding in here yesterday, hence the central aisle. Just wanted to bring you up to date with some family news. For any of you who didn't get the email earlier this week, Fiona had an emergency admission to John Radcliffe Hospital on Wednesday with breathing difficulties. The team have worked hard to alleviate the symptoms insofar as it's possible to do so. She's now resting at home, and thankfully our middle son, Jonathan, is at home at the moment, so he's with her this morning. I just want to say that when life is bad, God is good, and your prayers mean more than they've ever done before. So thank you very much for that. Now, today is our festival of prayer. We've advertised it for quite a long time. We've been looking forward to it. Six different groups from different parts of church life will be taking part in this morning's service. Some of the things they do you will love. Some of the things they do you will not love. But in all of them, God is listening. And that's kind of the point of this festival of prayer this morning. After the service, after a decent interval, we shall have lunch together, and we'll have that in the church hall. If you haven't signed up to come, but have a last-minute desire to stay with us for lunch, I think we can probably stretch it. So do come and join us afterwards if you would like to. Listen to these words from Jesus in John's Gospel. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we thank you for this wide open door of prayer. We thank you for a God who listens before we even speak. For all these things, Father, we bring you our thanks. And now it is our heartfelt prayer that you would pour out your Spirit and breathe your life on this group of people. For we ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Now, in a minute, we're going to sing our first song. I'm going to stick my neck right out here and take a risk and suggest that when we stand up to sing, some of you might like to come a bit further forward. It does look from here slightly as if you don't like each other this morning. And that's not really a picture I'm keen to emphasize. So when we stand up to sing, so there's a little bit of commotion anyway, if some of you would like to come up a little bit closer so we're a bit more bunched together, that would be lovely. I appreciate that's a bit like asking a mountain to move, but the Lord tells us that we can do that in faith. Let's stand up and sing. Our God is a great big God.
Jenny's going to come and help us do the actions. Thank you, Jenny.
please sit down. Now, the first of the groups helping us out with our praying this morning is Chatterbox, Bethan.
Thank you. Now, Eva and Gabe and all the other Chatterbox people want to come up. We've got a little action prayer that we've done a few weeks ago. So we've been learning in Chatterbox this term about Jesus and how he grew up. So come this side of me.
Jesus grew up. He learned more and more about God. He loved God more and more. Everything he did pleased God. Father God, as we grow up, may we learn more and more about you. Help us to love you more and more. Help us to please you in everything we do.
Can see you, and I'm going to ask if people want to join in with that. Come on up here, because I'm going to get down behind you. We'll do it again, shall we? Shall we do it again?
I think you need to be standing for this.
Stand up,
the first action is crouching down and standing back up again. So
I'll have to watch you guys to see what I have to do.
Jesus grew up. He learned more and more about God. He loved God more and more. Everything he did pleased God. Father God, as we grow up, we may learn more and more about you. Help us to love you more and more. Help us to please you in everything we do.
Amen. Thank you, Chatterbox. Do sit down. Now, we have a very busy and lively Girls Brigade, but they're so busy and lively that they're all elsewhere being busy and lively. However, they have brought a contribution to us this morning. It's a little dance to a song called You Will Never Leave. I picked up on these two lines from it. You'll never run away. You're by my side. Isn't that what we cherish when we pray? That God's never far away. You'll never run away. You're by my side. Let's watch the dance that goes with the prayer. Thank you, Phil. Now, given that I can't get all of you to do that, I think we'll actually watch that again, because that only lasts a minute. Let's watch that again, shall we, Phil? Thank you.
Oh,
And if you remember nothing else, remember that line, you'll never run away, you're by my side. Friends, let's stand and sing together, Strength Will Rise. Thank you. Sit down. We invite those going out to their different groups to make your way there now. Now, as the sound of the children's feet and voices recede off into the distance, Wednesday Welcome are going to come and pray for them.
Loving God, your Son told his disciples to become like little children. We pray for the children and young people of the world, for freedom from fear, relief from poverty, access to health care and opportunities and education. Father God, we remember all those working with children and young people abroad. Please guide them and grant them wisdom in all they seek to do. Lead them to work for the welfare and protection of all those in their care, respecting their dignity, that they may flourish in life, following the example of the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Loving God, your Son told his disciples to become like little children. We pray for the children and young people of this country, for those affected by recent traumatic events, for the disadvantaged, and for those who are living with disability, long-term illness, or life-limiting conditions. May they receive the help and support they need and know your peace. We remember those children and young people who have responsibility for caring for their families. Please give them strength to carry on and help them still have time to play and relax. We pray for all those who make decisions that affect the lives of children and young people. Father God, lead them to work for their welfare and protection, respecting their dignity, that they all may flourish in life, following the example of the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Loving God, your Son told his disciples to become like little children. We pray for the children and young people of our church and local community, for those awaiting exam results, for those getting ready to move schools, and for all those embarking on something new. Please help them to cope with the changes ahead and enjoy this next step forward. We remember their families and teachers and all who love, support and nurture them. Please give them rest and refreshment over the next few weeks. Father God, lead us all to work for the welfare and protection of our children and young people, respecting their dignity, that all may flourish in life, following the example of the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much. You know, when I'm hidden away in my little office on a Tuesday afternoon, often I can hear the sound of singing wafting along here, and it's coming from the Women's Fellowship. I don't think they're going to sing this morning, but come on out and pray, Beryl, thank you. And Mary too. And Daph.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Father, forgive them, Jesus said as he hung upon the cross. They know not what they do, he said. They didn't know their loss. And thus they jeered and scorned him, and little did they see the agony endured there as he died for you and me. And yet, he said, forgive them, as he was used so ill. May we in turn forgive those who steal or harm or kill. Yet it isn't just the cruelties that we need to forgive, but all those small injustices that surround us as we live. The careless word, the thoughtless deed, the hurt caused without thought. May we all strive our utmost to do what Jesus taught. But it's no use saying I forgive if bitterness remains to eat its way into our hearts. That way, no one gains. Forgiveness is releasing us to set aside the pain, to heal the situation, and resolved to start again.
O Lord, as we are gathered today, help us to show that same forgiveness to others that you have shown to us. When we look around at this wonderful world you created, we are very aware that man seems intent upon destroying all that you gave us so freely. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Help us to pray that the world may come to know and love you, for only then can we all live in peace and harmony. Help us to realize that we are a part of the reconciliatory process, living at peace with our neighbors, our town, our country, and your world. Forgiveness begins with each one of us here today. We remember your words to Peter when he asked, How many times should I forgive my brother? Stop counting. Just remember, God does not count how many times he needs to forgive us. May forgiveness make our world a better place, where the earth's resources are shared in the spirit of love. We ask these things in your precious name, Lord, for we know that peace on earth begins today and with each one of us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Steve, could you put all the lights out for me? Could you just do that? As you think about some of the things we've been learning about prayer the past 3 months, I'm going to watch this little audio visual together. It's called, O Lord, Hear My Prayer. Thank you, Phil. And so he does hear our prayer. Stand as you sing together, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
Thank you.
do please sit down. You know, it's not very often in church life that you have to put a cap on something because it's got too big. We now have to put a cap on our first Thursday lunch because we can't cater for more than 60. And most months we've got at least 60 people who want to come. That sits right at the heart of our seniors ministry. And Pat's going to come now and pray about that. And got some photos for us too, I think. Here we go.
I'm going to show you a few photographs and see Richard in all his glory. This was last month when Richard talked about his cycling experiences, and as you can see, he's there, and that's all the people that have gathered together. As Richard said, we've got to 60 now, and we really have got to have a waiting list, which I think is a tremendous thing. There's so much to thank and praise God for.
The numbers go up each month. We now have a waiting list, and we have many seniors who have no connection with the church. One lady said to me last month, "This is the highlight of my month. There is so much loneliness with these folk, but what a small service we are offering." One other quote, "If I'd known it was like this, I would have come months ago." As you can see from the photographs, we have fun, good food, and friendship. Please continue to pray for us, for the loyal staff, for the enthusiasm for us to serve God in this way. And please remember this coming Thursday when we gather for afternoon tea and songs of praise. And all are welcome, but let me know if you're coming. So we put enough teacups out as we glorify God through music. Shirley is now going to pray for the work of First Thursday.
We thank you, our God and Father, for the many times the First Thursday service and lunch has been such a time of fellowship and sharing. And we praise you for all those in so many ways make this possible. We do thank Pat, who faithfully heads up the arrangements. Please, Lord, continue to bless her. Of course, Pat is not able to do this on her own and relies on those in the kitchen, particularly Dot and her team of helpers, those who help putting out and laying the tables and the other duties. Thank you, dear Lord, for such a team. Thank you, dear Lord, for the witness that First Thursday is, month by month, and the many, many blessings that many receive. Lord, we do pray for the songs of praise next Thursday. May the words of the chosen hymns really speak to all who come. And Lord, we just thank you that your presence will be there with us. And we pray, Father, for a time of fun and fellowship and everything else. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, bless this work, Lord. Amen.
Amen. If you could collect up all the Christian experience in that room on a first Thursday, if you could hoover it all up, what a story those people would tell between them of God's faithfulness, down through the years, through the ups and downs. What a story. Let's stand as we sing together, Faithful One. Thank you. do please sit down. Now, from the seniors at a first Thursday lunch, we slide right the way down to the opposite end of the scale to Giggles and Wiggles on a Friday morning, preschool. We've had a prayer as dance, we've had prayer as action, and here is prayer as tapestry. And I'm going to put this at the back so you can have a look afterwards. It's a little tapestry of all the things they want to say thank you for. And it goes right the way through from pet giraffes to baby sisters. You know, fair enough. And there's a unicorn and a minion and one or two other things along the way. Bear in mind, this is probably the group that attracts the most people from outside church. We've said to them, what do you want to say thank you for? And here's this wonderful tapestry. And as I say, I'm going to put that at the back afterwards. But I also wanted to show us how they say thank you for their food. Phil, can we have a look at that, please?
Thank you, God, for drinks and snacks. Thank you, God, for drinks and snacks. Thank you, God, for drinks and snacks. Here at Giggles and Wiggles.
Thank you, Phil, very much. So we've spent 3 months talking about prayer in different ways. We've had 3 months thinking about prayer and looking at different people doing it. And if you thought 3 months ago there was only one way to pray, then I hope that these Sundays might have changed your mind a little bit. You can't actually see it, but squeezed into the pulpit with me here is Moses, with his furrowed brow, praying as if prayer is an ultimatum. On the other side, here's David, on the brink of losing his faith, but praying anyway. Here's Hannah, hunched over slightly, abandoned to God in prayer. Here's Jonah in a horrible mess and turning his eyes and his heart to God. Here's Mary quietly trusting and quaking as she does so. Here's Paul praying the best for the people that he loves. Here's Jeremiah, where prayer becomes, as we saw last week, a kind of conversion, where he's changed through the experience. And here's Jesus praying as naturally as you and I breathe. And if you still thought after those 3 months that there was only one way of praying, then hopefully squeezed into this service, there's been enough things to show you that there aren't just one way. We've got prayer as dance and prayer as poetry and written down prayers and illustrated prayers and a tapestry of thankfulness. And that tapestry there shows us it's not just how you pray, but it's what you pray for. Let's have a look at some of the pictures on there. There we are. Look, minions. It's not often we say thank you for unicorns in church, but, you know, why not? What else have we got? Thank you for my bike. Thank you for my toy giraffe. Thank you for colours, says Hannah, age 2. And Felicity wants to say thank you for her brothers, her brother. Oh, that's great. This whole range of things for which to say thank you. Let me read you now some words from a man who's passing on his last words of advice about how to pray, and he's doing it from his prison cell. This is in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, it's partly about prayer as habit. Friends, you could read a book every week from now until you end your days about prayer. You could read a different book every single week. And believe you me, I've read quite a few of them. I've read The Prayer of Jabez. I've read about the 24/7 prayer movement. I've read about prayer in the Orthodox Church. I've read about the Celtic prayer tradition. I've read about prayer labyrinths. I've read about prayer as it's understood in the Benedictine order. I've read about prayer in English mysticism. I've read about prayer as Ignatian spiritual exercises. And they've all got their merits. But prayer is less about rote than it is about relationship. Prayer is less about technique than it is about habit in the presence of God, which is why that little picture is up there beside me. No footpath, so hold on to somebody's hands. When it comes down to it, prayer is a habit that you have set long before you open your mouth or long before you get on your knees. Prayer is a habit of walking closely with God as you have to when there's no footpath, holding on to the one who walks beside you. You know, for Paul, who wrote the words I just read out to you, it was all about a personal relationship with Jesus. That was right at the heart of absolutely everything that he preached and wrote. Looking back at his own life, he writes this, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And that understanding was right at the heart of everything that he did. By the time he writes this letter to the Philippian church, that relationship, walking on the footpath with Jesus, has been put to the absolute limits of testing. It has been tested in every conceivable way. By the time Paul writes these letters about rejoicing in the Lord and being anxious about nothing, he's been blinded, he's been beaten up, he's been imprisoned, he's been set upon by crowds, he's been shipwrecked 3 times, he's been bitten by a poisonous snake. All of that has gone on, but in it all, he had learnt the secret of anything and everything. Verse 6. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Trust the Lord. In every situation, turn to him. You know, when people are worried, the worst thing you can say to them is, don't worry. Do you not think, does that not really irritate you when you're worried and somebody says, oh, don't worry? Or even worse, they cock their head slightly on one side, say, try not to worry. You know, and that just makes it even worse, doesn't it? Because then you're not only worrying, but you're letting somebody down by worrying. And you're not only worrying about the thing you were worrying about in the first place, but you're worrying about what that person thinks about you worrying. And so it goes on. Telling somebody not to worry is a pointless act. But Paul says, look, in any situation, in every moment, I have learnt to trust in him. Friends, we're all old enough and ugly enough, aren't we, to know that being a Christian does not make your problems disappear. You know, I quite enjoy the song, Jesus, We Celebrate Your Victory. I love to sing it on an Easter morning. But I have a problem. It gets to the third verse. His spirit in us releases us from fear. Yep, big tick to that one. The way to him is open. With boldness we draw near. Yep, love that line as well. In his presence our problems disappear. You what? Since when was that true? Since when was that true, that in the presence of God our problems disappear? They don't. They might take on a different perspective. We might see them more rationally. We might see them in the size that they ought to be compared to the might and the wonder of God, but they do not disappear. When Paul is writing this, he's still in prison. He's still been let down by all and sundry. He still wants to get out and get on with his work. You know, I love this depiction of Paul by Rembrandt. Wistful, vulnerable, not quite the firebrand we imagine him to be. His problems haven't disappeared. But he says, in anything, in any situation, in everything, I have learned to lean on God. It's kind of back to what Jeremiah was saying last week. Look at verse 5 of that passage from Paul. The Lord is near. In all his experiences, good and bad, he has learnt the habit of turning his trials into prayers. Friends, one of the things I want to say at the end of this series is that we need to retrain heart and mind and emotions so that worries are the things which prompt prayers rather than the things which dull them. Let me say that again. So worries are the things which prompt us to pray rather than the things which dull the praying instincts. Not through choice, I assure you, but I've had a lot of opportunity to put that into practice this week. A lot of hospital corridors, a lot of waiting rooms, a lot of we're not sure, but we'll be back to you in a minute. Turn the worry into a reason to pray rather than a reason not to. You see, it's about prayer as habit. But it's also about prayer as health. You know, in the space of one verse, if you've got a passage open in front of you, in the space of one verse, Paul uses four different descriptions for praying. I'll read out verse 6 to you again. Do not be anxious about anything, that's what we were talking about just now. In every situation, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, the word he uses for prayer, I haven't got room to do it here, is to throw yourself down prostrate before someone who has complete power over you. In prayer, petition is standing up, looking somebody in the face and saying, looking, this is what I need from you. In thanksgiving, well, that one is obvious. And your requests, specific things that you need right now. He says, look, get into the habit of doing all those things, throwing yourself down in God's presence, looking him in the eye, thanking him for what he's given. We've done a lot of that this morning. And presenting your requests to him. And he says, if you do all of that, then the upshot of those things is a robust spiritual health. Get into the habit of doing that. And then he says, pretty rich from a man in prison. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. The peace of God is a description of what was there at the very beginning. You know, before Eden fell apart, the sense of being right with him and nothing fracturing that relationship. Peace is that moment when the soul knows that all is well, even though the boat is breaking apart. And that peace, he says, will literally stand guard over you. That's the word he uses, writing it in a jail in a military garrison town. He says the peace of God will stand guard over you. You know, the person who has learnt the habit of prayer, the anything and everything, begins to experience the health of prayer as well, like living in a city that's well guarded and safe from all comers. What's that lovely description? Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Prayer is not just about asking for things. It's not just about clarifying things. Prayer is about putting us back in touch with God in such a way that our very soul reverberates with the fundamental frequency of the universe. Learn to do that, and you can literally pray in any situation. Set the habit of the anything and everything, and then you find yourself moving towards that place of spiritual health where you really can pray to him in any given situation. I remember standing on the banks of the Danube River on one of my visits to Serbia, and it was my last day. I'd finished the lecture course, and I was out taking some photos. Took a photo of a bridge in Novi Sad. Some of you might remember the name of Novi Sad from the bombing campaign that came afterwards. And there was a bridge with a boat underneath it, which made a nice photo. Turned out the boat was a police launch. Turned out the police launch had a rather large Serbian policeman bristling with armaments of various kinds who was not happy about me taking a photograph. Asked me to hand over my passport, and my colleague and I stood there on the banks of the Danube praying that God would sort this one out. So you can pray anywhere if you get into the habit of praying, and it brings that spiritual health with it. Another time, I was asked, before I moved, I was asked to do a Bible study for St. Mary's College Christian Union. St. Mary's College is in Twickenham, and they decided the best place to hold a Bible study would be in a pub. Not only that, that we decided to hold it in a pub called the Hobgoblin. Make of that what you will. So there we are in this very noisy rugby pub holding a Bible study and then praying together. Set the habit and you can do it anywhere. Back in Serbia again, 1999. Half my students already conscripted to go and fight in Kosovo. And the last morning of the last day of term, we pulled a few chairs together in the dining room, and with those who were left, we prayed. Learn to do it, and you can do it anywhere. You know, the words on the screen are from Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was born in 1611 and became a Benedictine monk in Burgundy. He was very severely disabled, and so his work in the monastery kitchens was especially hard for him. But what he learned was this habit of being able to pray to God anywhere, and I thoroughly recommend the book to you. The practice of the presence of God. This is what he writes. In the noise and clatter of the kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess in God a great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. There in the midst of all that noise and chaos and everybody wanting a piece of him. He said, I'd learn to find a tranquility in God. So we get this whole prayer thing right and it becomes the habit, walking, holding his hands. Get this prayer thing right and our spiritual health goes up a notch and it becomes sufficiently robust that the storms will not knock it off course. You know, we've got very familiar with this this little prayer bag, haven't we, over the weeks? I'm sorry to say, I haven't got anything. You're all hoping I've got something in it for I haven't. It's the bag itself I wanted to show you today. I bought this in the Indian state of Meghalaya, right up in the top corner of India. That state is now over 80% Christian because a Scottish missionary felt under obligation from God late in the 1890s to go and share the gospel there. And in the midst of that healthy prayer, that anything and everything, in the midst of that habit of prayer, he ended up with God putting his finger on him. And away he went. And because of his faithfulness, 80% of the people living in that part of India trust the Lord Jesus Christ as you and I do. You see, if prayer becomes a habit, it's good for our spiritual health. It may not make it an easy life any more than it did for that particular Scottish missionary, but it will make it a good life. So it needs to become a habit. It needs to change our spiritual health. And when it does, it's not just us who's going to notice it. It's the people who make the bag. It's the people who get touched by the kingdom of God. So we need to learn to do it. I'm going to come down for a minute because I want to give you an opportunity to reflect. You know, some Baptists would be absolutely horrified that I have candles in church. But hey, we'll get over it together. I remember going, there was a point in my life where somebody recommended I met with a spiritual director, which was a thought that I found utterly terrifying. And when she came into the room, she was an Ignatian nun. That was slightly more terrifying again because I wasn't used to seeing people dressed like that. And then we sat down and she lit this candle between us. And she said, that makes you and me and Jesus, who's the third. She said, because the lit candle is just a reminder that the presence in this room is not just you and I, but it's Jesus with us. You'll notice they're different lengths. Hang on, I'll get them lit. Because we're all at different places in our walk. Or different places in our confidence in praying. All at different places in how many answered prayers we can count up. I ask you just to focus for a moment on those flickering flames and think of the prayers that have been answered or maybe the ones that haven't. And ask God to help you set that habit of prayer that brings with it a robust spiritual health. Let's just take a moment to do that together. Father, wherever we are in our walk with you, however much or little prayer has become a habit, help us to trust you more and to pray more, we ask. We ask that for each of us, wherever we are, like the candle flames in front of us now, we would shine for you. Lord, teach us truly to pray, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing. Great hymn together. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Mike. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.